Well, this month we've been going through a series in the book of Luke. So if you have your Bible, I encourage you to turn to Luke chapter 1. And as you do, I want to ask you this question. Why do you enjoy Christmas? The answer might be different for a lot of people. I know in my house, I can tell you a few reasons why there are some little girls that enjoy Christmas. They enjoy the treats. They enjoy the presents. Someone actually just told me this morning during ABF about a certain present my daughter was sharing with other people. She wants a bow and arrow for Christmas. That's my kind of girl. They like the decorations. You know, all those things are wonderful ways to celebrate the Christmas story. I want my children to love Christmas. But most important of all, I want them to understand, and we all need to understand, that behind all this celebration is a deep and abiding reason for why we can have joy. You know, it's a reason that will not fade with the lights or go stale with the cookies or break like the presents. If you truly want to have joy this Christmas, and if you truly want to experience the blessing of Christmas, you will only find that joy by faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for all of us, because Mary gives us an example of what this faith looks like. God used her as an example that we might know and enjoy Jesus Christ. Notice that Mary's life first teaches us that the faithful are blessed by obedience. If you look in verse 39 of Luke chapter 1, we pick up the story. We left off with the angel appearing to Mary. And now it says, in those days, Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country, to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. The region of Judah was located in southern Israel. It's the region surrounding Jerusalem. And Elizabeth and Zechariah, we saw early in the story, were people who are honored and privileged within the Jewish system because they were part of priestly lineage. So they probably lived in the hills somewhere near to Jerusalem. And as Mary travels there, we have to think about this. Most people talk about the second trip with her and Joseph going to Bethlehem. But this is the first trip, and it's a long one, traveling from up north to down south. And this is actually a significant trip that we should not miss the point of. So you see, Mary wastes no time. The angel Gabriel had appeared to her and told her that her cousin Elizabeth was pregnant as a sign to encourage her. And so immediately, Mary goes and she discovers the sign that the angel had pronounced. It simply picks up where we left off with a young girl who truly believes what God has said to her. If she didn't believe what God had said, she would have never gone to go visit Elizabeth. She was going to conceive as a virgin as well, we see in the story, because she had no time to spend with Joseph. She immediately leaves, and she accepts God's promise to her. Because the faithful live in light of the truth. We've been studying through the book of James often on Sunday evenings, and we saw recently that the root of salvation leads to the fruit of obedience. If you truly trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's going to be evidenced by your actions. You know, it's not just Mary here. We read in the opening of the service that the shepherds went to go see the manger after they heard the angels make the pronouncement. Later, we see the wise men who follow the star. They know something's going on, and they believe it's important, so they act. And perhaps you profess to believe in Jesus, but there's really no evidence of that faith in your life. You don't seek God in prayer. You don't seek Him in His Word. You don't fellowship with God's people. And that's kind of like a Mary who would not go and visit Elizabeth. It's kind of like a shepherd who wouldn't visit the manger. That's kind of like a wise man who never follows the star. That doesn't make sense. If you truly believe in Jesus, then your life will have evidences of faith in it. You know, for Christians who do believe, we have to recognize that we already know so much about God, don't we? There's so much truth that we have ingrained in our heads. But it's when we act on that truth and when we trust God by faith that we start experiencing the blessings of obedience in our lives. Yes, we trust in Jesus. We try to read our Bibles. We pray. We confess our sins when we do wrong. But sometimes Christians can get strapped with what I like to call, or some have called, decision fatigue. There are decisions you need to make in your Christian life, and you know what the truth is, but mentally you're concerned about the ramifications. You try to assess all of the factors that are involved, and in the end, you don't make any decision. You're just strapped with indecision because you can't trust God with the decision. Mary here doesn't hesitate. She follows God because she believes what he promised to her. The most logical thing, if Elizabeth has conceived, is that Mary would go and see the sign that God has made for her to see. There are other Christians who aren't strapped with decision fatigue as much as they are with distraction. We have this wonderful invention called the smartphone that we have enjoyed now for over a decade, and it distracts us, doesn't it? Or the media on the news. There's so many things in this world that can drain our energy and take away our attention when the simple thing we should do is believe and obey what God has called us to do. Here, Mary believes God's word. She doesn't hesitate. She lives in light of the truth, and she's going to experience blessing because of it. Ultimately, our blessing does not rest in our own abilities, though. Even though we're called to obey, it's not we who start the blessing. It's God who initiates it. So notice that the faithful are blessed in Jesus. So Mary goes and visits Elizabeth. In verse 41, we continue with this story, and it says, "And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb." The first sign we see of Mary being blessed is this reversal of roles. You see, Elizabeth was the elder. She was the one who had just conceived and come out of the barrenness that she had been embarrassed by her whole life. And we really would think that it would be Elizabeth who's blessed in this scene, if we were going by just externals. And Mary comes in and greets Elizabeth with a formal greeting that shows that she's giving deference and respect to Elizabeth. But immediately when she greets her, the tables are turned because John the Baptist leaps in Elizabeth's womb for joy. You know, when Emily and I, well, not me, just Emily was far along in the pregnancy with Evelyn, our first daughter, we were sitting there one day together just looking at the baby bump. And she remembers this moment. I do too, because we've never experienced anything like it since then. But it must have been either an elbow or a foot or something. But Evelyn just pushed way out. It was like this little mountain popped up on her stomach and then came back in. And at the same time, both Emily and I said, "Whoa." And yes, the baby moves in the womb. That's a typical part of pregnancy. But this was a leap of joy inspired by the Holy Spirit that caused Elizabeth to say, "Whoa, there was something special going on here." It's the fulfillment of the promise the angel Gabriel made to Zechariah. If you look up in chapter 1 earlier in verse 15, it says this, that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit, that's John the Baptist, even from his mother's womb. This Holy Spirit-empowered moment told them that the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God, was in the room, and John the Baptist was already paving the way. So instead of Mary pronouncing this blessing on Elizabeth, her elder honored relative, it's now Elizabeth who pronounces the blessing on Mary. Look at verse 41. She says, "And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb.'" This Holy Spirit who filled the baby John now fills the mother Elizabeth to speak God's truth. And that's why she cries out with a loud cry. Often when the Holy Spirit filled someone to make a proclamation, we see this language. They cry out with a loud utterance. And this continues a theme in Luke that God is going to work in extraordinary ways. You know, often women were considered less significant in that day, not as important. But now we see two women, and of them, the more significant is blessing the less significant. Back in verse 38, Mary told the angel that she was a nobody. She put herself at the lowest rung of a Christian slave, as a servant in a household. But Elizabeth says that Mary is blessed among women, and really this language could be said that Mary is most blessed among women. She's at the top of the rung. In the world of Christianity today, you and I are familiar with many significant people and places and events that happen within Christian circles. You and I could name large denominations. You could name large schools, large ministries that are across the face of the globe. You could name publishers or popular writers or popular preachers. And it's really what some have called an embarrassment of riches that we should not take for granted. We should be thankful for those things. But at the same time, we should be careful not to place our confidence in those institutions or those things and expect that God is just going to do everything through them. Because in the Bible, God actually delights to work through insignificant people and insignificant places to accomplish amazing things. That he does this so that no one may boast in his presence. Let's not forget about Gideon. I mean, God pares his army down. He pares his army down so that it becomes very clear that it's God who did this. It's God who delivered them. We're so prone to want to look at numbers and people and influence and think that's the way God will work. But God strips away all of that in this story and chooses a little teenage girl of faith. So let that be an encouragement to some of you mothers at home on a day when nothing's going right. The baby is an hour late for their nap, and you can't get lunch on the table because one child just broke a glass and another one's coloring on the walls with permanent marker. God can still use you because he delights to work through people in situations like that. Let this passage be an encouragement to the elderly. Perhaps you're confined at home or even to bed. You're watching this service on live stream today because you can't make it. And you remember the days of your youth when you did so much and you were so free and able to serve other people. You had tons of energy, but now it feels as if you can do very little. Be encouraged. God delights to work through people like you. Perhaps you feel strapped down with financial burdens that are too heavy to bear. You have limited resources and you look around, you see other people who are able to do so many good things and you wish I could be like that, but I can't. Take encouragement. God delights to work through people like you. Here, Mary is most blessed among women when by human standards, she should be considered insignificant. But why? Why would God choose to work this way? He does it to point us to Jesus Christ. He wants to point us by faith to the Savior. The faithful are blessed in Jesus. Notice how this works in verse 42. When Elizabeth makes this blessing, she says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." In Old Testament blessings, it was common to make the declaration, the pronouncement of the blessing, and then to give the reason. So Elizabeth pronounces the blessing, "You're blessed, Mary," and then she gives the reason. Why? Because of the fruit of your womb. It's that Savior who's inside of you. That's the blessing. And understanding this blessing helps us not get confused about who's being praised here. Mary is not being praised. Jesus is. And Mary is blessed because of Jesus, just as all of us are by faith. A woman's status in the Bible times was directly connected to them bearing children, and Mary's the only person who walked the face of this planet who carried the Son of God. So yes, she was most blessed because of the child in her womb, the Messiah, the most important person in the universe. and so are we. For all who place their faith in Jesus Christ, we all experience blessing because of Jesus. You know, Charles Dickens had to work in a shoe polish factory as a 12-year-old boy because his father had mishandled the family finances, then he was sent to prison. You know, Dickens later went back to school after his father paid off the family debts, only to have to return to work again later to help the family again. But today we know Dickens as a world-renowned writer. And a lot of people would look at his life and say, Charles Dickens made the man. We like a Cinderella story because it tells us of the amazing odds a person overcame to be where they are today. But who set the odds? Who put the people in Dickens' life to influence him in that direction? Did Dickens make the man? No, God did. And in this circumstance, with Mary, it's God who has won our salvation. He works through Mary, not so that we would marvel at Mary, but so that we would worship Jesus. So Elizabeth tells us just how important Jesus is in verse 43. Notice what she calls Jesus. She says, "And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Elizabeth calls Mary the mother of the Lord. And this is the first time we see Jesus directly called the Lord in this story, in the Gospel of Luke. The Holy Spirit speaking through Elizabeth tells us Jesus is God. And she confirms this. If you look down at verse 45, notice what Elizabeth calls God. "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Who spoke to her? I thought she just called that baby in her womb the Lord. And now she says that the Lord who sent the angel is the one who spoke to her. Who is it? Well, the reality, it's God the Father and God the Son working by God the Holy Spirit. Jesus is God. And then look at verse 46. Mary says it. She says in her song of praise, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Who is that? "And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Jesus is God. He's the Lord. And this is the truth that gives us joy. We are blessed in Jesus because He is truly God. We marvel at the fact that God condescended to us. He took on human flesh, took on the life of a small baby, grew up a perfect and sinless life for you and for me. And it needed to be God who did this because we had an infinite debt against a holy God, and it had to be paid by an infinite Savior who was perfect and sinless. So Jesus Christ did that for you and for me. He lived a perfect and sinless life, died on the cross, was buried in the grave, and rose again so that you and I might have eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the story that gives us joy. And so we praise Him. That's why we've gathered together to worship the Lord today, is to praise Him for the salvation of God in Jesus Christ. And this is for anyone who places their faith in Jesus. If you repent, confess your sins, and believe in Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Like Mary, you can be blessed in Jesus. But you have to believe it's true. You see, the blessing that comes in Jesus Christ only comes by faith. And that's where we finish with this section. We're told that the faithful are blessed by faith. See, for Mary, she was blessed for bearing the Messiah. This is what God had called her to. But she only experienced that blessing when she believed what God said to her by faith. Notice this. This is what Elizabeth tells Mary in verse 45. And we shouldn't miss this. This is so important. She says, "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." You see, it wasn't enough to simply be the mother of Jesus. That was indeed a blessing like no other woman on the face of the planet and in the history of humanity would ever experience. But Mary still needed to believe these promises about Jesus. She needed to believe to experience the blessing. And there's something here subtle that we might miss unless we pull it out from the story. Think of this if you're reading for the first time. When are we told that Mary has conceived? We aren't. We're shown. Elizabeth confirms it with her own mouth by saying, "Blessed is the fruit of your womb." And in the same way, Mary sees the fulfillment of the promise that God made to her that Elizabeth had conceived. She walks in, and there it is. Elizabeth is pregnant. God gave her a sign graciously. But Mary only saw the evidences after she believed. You know, the Pharisees were always getting onto Jesus Christ to give us a sign, give us a sign. And yet he knew that if he gave them a sign, they still weren't going to believe. The problem wasn't the sign. The problem was their faith. And there are going to be times in the Christian experience, in your life and my life, when you will not see the answer. You're going to have to trust God by faith. And you're going to want a sign. You're going to be tempted to say, "Show me a sign. I want to see evidence that you're actually working this out for my good." And God says, "Trust in me." And the reason Mary was blessed was that she trusted without the sign. And then God gave it to her. Because he's so good. He is so good. God will reassure your faith. He will reaffirm it. But you must believe in him. You and I will be blessed if we believe. You know, the blessing of salvation is not for everyone, regardless of what they think. No, there is a responsibility placed on all of us to believe the good news, to confess of our sins and place our faith in Jesus Christ. You know, often during Christmas, people talk about salvation in terms of receiving a gift. It's a good analogy. It helps us understand if someone offers you a gift. But let's add a little more color to that picture today. Imagine if you were walking downtown Greenville, just walking down the street, and some stranger walks up to you and offers you a gift. They say, "This is an extraordinary present, and it came at great cost to myself. I'm giving it to you." What would you think? You'd probably have like a red flag going up in the back of your mind. Okay, this guy's trying to sell me something, or he's not quite right here, so I'm going to just walk away quickly. It's probably how you'd respond. So what if you started walking away, then this guy says your name? He says, "No, so-and-so, I'm serious." Then you might start running, or you may be a little curious. You're like, "How do you know my name?" And he responds, "I'm the doctor at the hospital who's been trying to find the cure to your disease. I've been working all around the clock, and this gift will help you know what the cure is for your disease. Would you open the gift now?" Yeah. Yeah, you would. Why? What made the difference? Because you knew and you believed the doctor. I think it's reasonable to be skeptical of things that we don't know or people we don't understand. You have to understand the gospel, and you need to know Jesus Christ. That's what the gospels are for. Once you believed, you received the gift. And then you might be here today and you don't know much about Jesus. Really, he's nothing but a stranger to you. The reality is you are surrounded by a group of people who have come to know Jesus Christ and place their faith in him alone for salvation because they know him and they believe in him. And we're about ready to worship the Lord. We're about ready to praise him together today because we know that Jesus Christ is the Savior. We know how he has blessed us when we trusted in him, and we love him. So let us introduce you to Jesus. Watch how we worship today. Ask those, perhaps you came with someone or you didn't, but ask believers how we know Jesus Christ. Ask him what he has done in their life. We want you to know, so that you might believe in Jesus. Because once you believe in God's forgiveness of sins through his son, Jesus Christ, you receive a gift of salvation. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus is facing a crowd of people, and there's a woman that calls out that Mary is blessed because she bore Jesus. That has a lot to do with this verse right, this passage right here. Now, what does Jesus say? This is how Jesus responds. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." See, even Mary and every single one of us in this room, whether you know Christ or you don't, we must hear the word of God and keep it. We must believe that this gift of salvation is for us, and it was purchased for us at great cost to God by sending his son. And we're responsible for accepting this gift. We're responsible for living in light of it this week. And we're also responsible for refusing it. There is no blessing of salvation for those who refuse the gift. So this story lifts up Mary as a humble example of what true faith looks like. And through Mary, it lifts up for us Jesus Christ, who alone can take away the sins of the world. Then look down at verses 46 through 55 in your Bibles. In many translations, these verses are set off with special formatting because they're poetry. This is a song. Mary, this teenage girl, writes a song to praise God for the joy he has placed in her heart. And it's just loaded with references to the Old Testament. And it reveals that even this young girl knew her Bible well. That if you don't know Jesus, let this song teach you more about him. We're going to sing our way through the Magnificat this morning. There's going to be scripture readers who come up and read a section, and then we're going to sing in response. And we have headings for each section, which I want to explain to you in a minute. But we're going to respond, like Mary, to what we know about the gospel and what Jesus Christ has done. Let me explain these sections. If you have your bullets in, you can pull it out. And you notice in the first section, we have praise God. Jesus delivers the needy. You see, God had reversed the circumstances in Mary's life. She was what she considered the most insignificant person, and yet God exalted her. And now that we've seen that God works in this way, he uses insignificant people, we're going to praise him for it. We're going to praise him for how he works through the lives of the needy. Then second, we're going to praise Jesus who conquers the proud in verses 51 through 53. You know, we are responsible to God. And for those who push away the gift or demand for a sign, God says he's actually going to humble the proud. He's going to conquer them, is the language he uses on his second return. And so we praise God that he puts down the proud and he exalts the humble, because we're responsible. All of us are responsible to respond. And then third, we praise Jesus who keeps his covenant in verses 54 to 56. We're responsible, yes. But God is sovereign. The only reason we're saved is because God broke into this world through his son Jesus Christ and offered us salvation. So that's what we're going to end on. The fact that Jesus took on human flesh, God kept his promise to Abraham to bless the nations through a descendant. And now we celebrate that today. Today we see that the promise has been fulfilled. Jesus has won our forgiveness. So let's praise him in song. Let's praise him in scripture reading. Let's praise him because God blesses the faithful in Jesus. Will you pray with me?